Hey, this is John Lee Dumas of the award-winning podcast, Entrepreneurs on Fire, and you're listening to the Excelsior Journeys with George Soroy. Prepare to ignite.
So would you say that that's kind of like the lightning bolt moment for
you? And that's
why
I taught myself how to draw, was actually the Little Mermaid, drawing stills of Ariel.
I've got better things to do tonight than die.
Sylvester jumped out of his chair and said, who the F is this?
I remember walking out of the theater with him saying, I'm going to write Halloween.
I'm rather impressed with your research. Rarely do people ask me about Children in the Corn.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Just do it. You know, throw some spaghetti against a wall. See if it sticks.
This is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward. Welcome back to Excelsior Journeys, the road to creativity. This is George Soroy, and thank you so much for being here. And one of the things that I am in the middle of finishing up right now is the National Podcast Post-Month Challenge. Over on my sister show, Excelsior Journeys Behind the Scenes, I am using all of my 30 episodes to talk about my history in writing for both the stage and the big and small screen. None of those things, well, very few of them, have actually seen the light of day. So it's interesting to kind of go back and see, oh, this could actually get a second chance. And one of the things that I've found very eye-opening about this whole experience is that I definitely feel like I needed to have someone like Wendy Dale working with me on this, because what I'm doing is basically an audio memoir, and Wendy is ideally one of the people that you want to work with when it comes to getting a memoir together. This is someone who released over 20 years ago their own memoir, Avoiding Prison and Other Notable Vacation Goals. She has taught for Media Bistro, doing memoir writing for about 6 years. She has essays and articles that are found all over the place. And at the beginning of this year, she released her own book, The Memoir Engineering System, Make Your First Draft Your Final Draft. And you can actually find out more information about that at geniusmemoirwriting.com. And I truly believe that for those of us authors that agonize over the process, the fact that there is a chance to make that first draft your final draft, I'm sure that's definitely something that you'd want to know more about. I know I do. And it's definitely something that I feel that we need to really explore, especially because when it comes to writing in general, everyone says, oh, every story has been told. But no, not every story has been told, because your story hasn't been told. And people like Wendy are the ones that will make that happen for you. And so I am really thrilled to have Wendy here to talk about her process in terms of memoir writing and everything else that she is doing in this field, including a free class that she's offering on her website. So it is my honor to introduce our guest this week, Wendy Dale. Wendy, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, George. Thank you for that great introduction.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And thank you very much for being here. If I'm not mistaken, I think we found each other on Podmatch. Is that right?
My publicist reached out to you. Interview connections.
That's right. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes, yes, yes. A lot of times what they're offering is completely not what the show is about. But this is why I never completely disregard them, because every now and then they'll go ahead and strike gold. And I know this person did when they reached out. So thank you very much for being here.
Oh, well, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And so before we dive into your whole history in this field, tell us a little bit about the book itself that's out there right now.
The memoir engineering system started with an obsession I had to discover the principles that all memoirs follow. So I'm sure we as writers get the advice all the time, just write, just get that first draft on the page. The first draft is for you. And I heard that so many times in my life. And the problem with it for me, and then with people I worked with over the years, is that the drafts aren't necessarily getting better. And what do you put in that first draft? And what really frustrated me was that writing is the only art form where there aren't principles, right? If you're going to learn how to play the guitar, you learn how to read music, or you at the very least learn how to play chords, you learn principles. And writing isn't that way. And the reason it isn't that way is I looked for principles and never found them. So this was my obsession with coming up with a set of principles that all written stories follow. in order to not be writing draft after draft. So many of the clients I work with have been working on their memoir for 20 years.
Wow.
10 years, I would easily 10. Multiple people more than 20. And I really wanted that to change. Why do you want to spend 20 years of your life on a book? And it really is possible. So when they start working with me, they usually get a book done in a year. That is our goal. So you spend time understanding the principles of how written stories work, and then you can do this quickly and do it well. So mm-hmm. that's what the memoir engineering system is about. I analyzed over 1,000 memoir manuscripts over the course of 15 years to figure out the principles that all memoirs follow. It also applies to novel writing, but it becomes even more important when writing a memoir, which is particularly difficult because you have to work with true events. In novel mm-hmm. writing, you can make things up and find plot that way.
I really do. Like, I definitely gravitated toward that line of make your first draft your final draft, because that's something that I know that a lot of different writers, we all deal with that wonderful feeling of perfectionism. We want to get it right the first time. And I'm glad to see that there is some form of hope that you can actually get it right the first time.
Well, so let me just clarify a teensy bit. So when I say make your first draft your final draft, mm-hmm. what I want people to, I really teach people to outline, and I teach a very specific mm-hmm. type of outline, so that for me, I love writing prose. I hate outlining, right? I really hate it. I'm not a planner, though mm-hmm. I have come around to the other side. Yep. When I say make your first draft your final draft, I'm not necessarily referring to the prose, because I do right. think you should polish the prose. What I am
of
saying
course.
Is you're not going to be writing 100 pages that you're going to have to throw out because it doesn't advance the plot. So you really are, when you outline your book and you understand the concepts of structure, that what you're writing is actually going to go in your book. You might mm-hmm. edit it the next day. You might polish it. You might make the prose better. But you really are not writing hundreds of pages that are going to get thrown out. That scene that you're writing today is actually going to go in your book. You might tweak it a little bit, a couple times, but that's I mean by make your first draft your final draft. No pressure to get that prose perfect.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, like, my understanding is the only one that really was able to actually commit to doing that, I think, was Ray Bradbury. I think that was when he typed out his stories, especially, I believe it was Fahrenheit 451. It just, he submitted it and that was it. So, but and we all yearn for that. We all want to get it right the first time. So it's good to see that there is a structure that's based upon it that is very workable. A lot of people really do, myself included, they can figure out where the story goes as long as they have a map in front of them. And that's what that outline is.
Oh, I love that you brought up Ray Bradbury. He was actually my first favorite author as a kid.
Oh, very.
I loved him when I was in high school. It was the first time I ever noticed prose, I have to say. As a kid, I was like, what makes writing good? And I started really looking at Ray Bradbury was my favorite author. And I really started looking at his prose. I rarely get the chance to talk about Ray Bradbury. I'm a memoirist, right? No one brings up Ray Bradbury. They bring up Tara Westover from Educated, right?
Right. Yep.
But I hear you. Yes.
Excellent. And
yes, I lost your question. I got all excited about Ray
Bradbury.
That's
okay. It was more of a follow-up on what you were uh-huh. talking about anyway. So it's okay. But I'm really fascinated to hear like how this whole thing started. And that's one of the things that I love to talk about on this show, which is what I call the road to creativity. Like, we're all on this one track in life. We're on this one road. And then all of a sudden we either experience something or see something, meet someone, and it just makes you want to go like, ooh, maybe I should do that. And then you get on the nearest exit ramp and all of a sudden you're on a whole different highway and you just merge into traffic and you get on your way and make a point not to crash while you're doing so. So what was it about this field, about memoir writing in general, that made you want to kind of gravitate toward that?
Well, so I wanted to be a writer when I was very young, probably when I was 14, was when I really wanted to be a writer. And my mother said to me, Wendy, it's incredibly difficult to be a writer. You should be an actress.
Really? Right?
Oh, my mother's kind of wacky. I write about my mother in my own memoir. I had done theater a lot as a kid. So it wasn't completely, I mean, obviously the idea that, oh, it's so much easier to become an actor than it is to become a writer is sort of ridiculous. But I did move to Los Angeles. I moved to Los Angeles when I was 17 and really quickly became disillusioned with the industry. Right? Mm-hmm. I was a theater actress. I was 17. I thought you could do theater in LA.
Yeah.
A huge misconception, right?
You can. Now, granted, you can do it. It's just not enough of it. There's not as much of it as there is in New York.
It's not really taken seriously either. So I wound up studying theater at UCLA. And while I was there, really became disillusioned with Hollywood, even though I wasn't in Hollywood, I was at UCLA. But really fell in love with writing. I'd already been in love with writing, but I got involved in student newsletters. And I had an advisor and he said, I don't know what you plan to do with your life, but if you want to be a writer, I think you could be a good one. Oh. I needed to hear that. I really did. As a kid, we're really easily influenced. That was what I wanted to do anyway, really. So I made that decision then and there that I would somehow earn my living as a writer. Now, that's a tough decision when you're 19 years old. But for the most part, I've done it. Now, I haven't always done the kind of writing I've wanted to do. I mean, sometimes that required going and doing corporate communications, right? I was still a writer. I wasn't a happy writer, but I was still a writer. So for the most part, I have managed to do that for most of my life. Work as a writer. How I got into memoir is kind of funny. I really wanted to be a novelist. I grew up with novels. Grew up with Ray Bradbury. Yeah. All sorts of other kinds of novels. I thought memoir writing would be a stepping stone. I thought it would be easier to write a memoir than it is to write a novel because you don't have to come up with plot. You already have the plot. It's your life. Well, that was a huge misconception. And this is where the memoir engineering system came about, was that really this is the problem that most memoirists have, is they confuse what happened to them. They think it's plot and it's just not. So.
Interesting. And so what was it that now having looked at, read more about you and everything, gotten to know more about what you've done in preparation for this show, I got to see that this person would definitely fit perfectly in the memoir field, considering everything that you've done. That's definitely some experiences you want to read about. One of the things that grabbed my attention was that you were nominated for an Emmy for a TV special. Well,
So the TV show was nominated for an Emmy. I was 23 years old. My goal was to work as a writer, no matter what. And when I was 22, I started working as an ad copywriter. It was really one of the best jobs of my life. We were doing mostly radio ads. It was really a challenge to... His name was Chuck Bloor. He passed away a few years ago. He was really influential in advertising. He was quite famous. And he taught me a lot. He probably taught me more about writing than anyone else. The having to write a 30-second radio ad. We did a little bit of TV, but mostly radio. Having to create believable characters and make the audience laugh or cry and sell a product in 30 seconds was just the best training for me as a writer. Mm-hmm. So it was through him that I eventually wrote The New Adventures of Mother Goose.
Nice. Very cute. And then you've also gotten like a whole lot of different essays and articles and everything. Is that all about memoir writing as well?
So not always. I think one of my favorite essays that I wrote was on Marketplace, which is International Public Radio.
Yeah.
Or Public Radio International. And it was really about my mother's Christmas letter. So sometimes I'm a memoir. So sometimes I write about my life. So my mother, unlike every other mother in the world who likes to brag about their children at Christmas, my mother really embarrasses us with her Christmas letter because she doesn't want to brag. So that was one of my favorite essays. It was very funny. How most of my essays been about writing. Some of them have. Some of them have been about my life.
Excellent. And then, so basically just like, so you definitely found out that you have a passion for this field. And what was it that made you think like, oh, not only can I really kind of invest myself in this field, but I can also teach it to other people. What was it that grabbed your attention about doing that?
So I became a memoir writing teacher slash coach almost 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it happened, like a lot of my stories, I was in a foreign country and ran out of money. So I had Media Bistro had wanted to hire me earlier. They wanted me to teach a class on travel writing. And I had said, I don't really feel qualified. Now, I write a lot about my travels, but I didn't feel qualified because travel writing, what they were referring to as getting your pieces published in magazines. Mm. And I really don't know how to do that. I keep going until I have 300 pages and it becomes a book. So I was living in Bolivia and I had run out of money, which is how most of the stories of my life tend to start. And I remembered Media Bistro and I thought, well, I could write. I could teach memoir writing. I've written a memoir. I think about memoir. So I started doing that. And that really was the beginning of the memoir engineering system, because it's one thing to do and it is another thing to teach. When you do it, I wrote my memoir by trial and error. And all of a sudden, I had all of these people turning in manuscripts to me. And I needed to teach them how to write a memoir. And this was really when I really started becoming obsessed with how does memoir work? You know, I got my book done. It took me 6 years and I had help. I had an agent help me in the end because I knew nothing about structure. And all of a sudden, this idea of how do books work? How is the written story work? What are the principles came up again, really, when I started teaching. And it was great, because I tried to figure it out before. I'd looked at memoirs and I couldn't see the seams. You know, it's like when you watch a bad movie, you start to learn a lot about screenwriting, right? You're like, oh, don't do that.
You learn about what not to do.
Exactly. And well, what happened was I started getting these manuscripts and I'm like, well, they shouldn't be doing this and they shouldn't be doing that and they shouldn't be doing that. So I reverse engineered it. I said, well, if they shouldn't do it, what should they do to prevent this error? And over the course of 15 years of getting mistakes that fell into categories enough times, I slowly created a set of principles of what you should actually do in order to write a book right the first time without making structural mistakes or prose mistakes as well.
So it's not a matter of thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. It's just basically thou shall do this.
Exactly.
And just gives it a more positive slant to it.
Well, so what it turned out to be is a set of steps for you to create a book from the ground up, which is so much more helpful than saying, don't do this, don't do this, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And so all of this really started to come into focus about 18 years ago, but it was just over 20 years. That was when your own memoir was released, correct?
Yes. So a lot of people go to my memoir. I've become really known for what I teach in terms of structure. And so a lot of people go back to my memoir thinking that it's going to be the book with the best structure in the world. And I always have to say, I wrote that book before I really had figured out structure. Now, I think it works. I think the structure works. But I did write that book by trial and error. And so I came up with a way to write a book after I'd written my own memoir, partly because I had struggled to write a memoir. And also, as I tell my clients, as I tell my students, I have made every possible mistake. So I really empathize with how hard it is to write a memoir. I did it in writing my own memoir. Now, if I were to write a memoir, I could write one so quickly because I understand how books work. But I'm so busy teaching and working with other people that I'm not writing. So you said it was really fulfilling. It really is. I get to work on so many books. And as a memoir coach, I learn so much, so many stories. I learn about these different subcultures. I learn about people's lives. It really is fascinating. I love what I do.
Excellent. I love that. And that's something that we need to hear more from people. It's just saying that they love what they do. And that's really what this show is all about. It's people that are pursuing their own creative outlets no matter what, and no matter what their everyday responsibilities are. And that's something to definitely be celebrated, especially for those that are showing others how to do what you do. That in itself is a big bonus.
Thank you. It's amazing. It really is. So, yeah, I love being an artist, but I've gotten so much more fulfillment by teaching other people this. And it took me so long to figure these concepts out. And I love sharing them. I teach what I wanted to find myself, and I never found it. So I had to figure it out. So I love being able to give that to people.
That's great. And that was the underlying nature of the book itself, right?
The underlying nature of the book?
Of your book, the one that came out this year.
So it is. It's the idea that, yes, I'll teach you the concepts that I sought out but never found myself.
Oh, that's great. And so when you were putting this whole thing together, you were actually just had the structures already. You knew what you were going to do. Is it just a matter of putting in your own, like telling your own story of how the whole thing came into play?
You mean the memoir engineering system? What is the book? No.
Yeah, like the structure of it in a sense. Like, or is it just very like, this is what you do?
It's really step by step. So I give a little bit of my story. I talk about what I struggled with, and I talk about the errors that memoirists make, some of the misconceptions. I think memoir structure is a bit counterintuitive, so it's easy to get it wrong. But the majority of the book is talking about concepts that are really important to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. Just as an example, what is a scene? Right. So a lot of people think they know what a scene is. And I really had come to a deep understanding of what is a scene. So as an example, a scene contains three elements. A scene has a sense of specific sense of time. Mm-hmm. Right. So in your book, you will have an extended period of time or no period of time. This is true for novels as well as memoirs. So you might say, if you're a novelist, every day Janie would walk down to the shore. Her favorite thing to do was pick up seashells. We're not yet in a scene. This is an extended period of time. This is what Janie does every day. One day, Janie reached down and there was a huge jellyfish. You can tell a scene is beginning because it's a specific point in time. One day, and so you have a specific point in time and something always has to happen. Now, this is really important for a memoirist. I think as a novelist, you intuitively make sure that something happens in your scene. In fact, you probably think of it that way. Okay, this scene, this is going to happen, and then you write it out. But for a memoirist who's coming up with all of these events in their life and it just has this memory of all the things that's happened to them, this is actually a revelation. Something's going to have to happen in your scene in order to create plot. This is the building block plot. So understanding that really helps a memoirist because memoirists tend to put way too much stuff in their scene, right? So they'll just tell us about everything they did that day at the beach and how they set up their blanket and how they had a sandwich and how they saw a seagull and how someone came walking up and said hello to them. And they just go on and on. And what happens is the scene has no reason to exist because they're remembering what actually happened. But the first step to turning that into a scene is knowing why it exists. What is the real thing that happened that's going to advance your plot?
It's so like, it's like brevity is the soul of wit sort of thing. You know, it's like, don't.
Yes.
As Shakespeare said, just basically just said, like, don't waste my time.
As Shakespeare said, yes, don't waste my time. Exactly. Paraphrasing Shakespeare.
There you go. Right? So once you got that whole thing put together, you realize once it was all finished and you were able to kind of look back on it, that's when you realized that, ooh, I got something here. I have like an actual structured breakdown of something that can be used for other people independent of working directly with you.
So honestly, I've never written so fast in my life. It only took me 2 months to write this book.
Wow.
Because I had spent 15 years coming up with the concepts. And I had all of these examples and I'd worked with all of these people and they were so kind. Everyone I asked, can I use an excerpt from your book? Even the before excerpt, which is the embarrassing one, right?
Yeah.
They were so generous and they gave me permission. Because you know, I used the before and the after. The generous part was letting me use the before version. So it was really easy to write this book because the system I created took 15 years. It was a slow process. I became a much better coach over a 15-year period. And so writing the book itself was really easy because it was all in my head. This was the stuff I was already doing with clients. And so it was just a matter of putting it down on the page.
That's great. And that's got to be a good feeling, too, once it's all there and it's all finished. What did that feel like to you? Because it's a feeling that every writer, every author just yearns for. And you're able to do it. That's kind of rarefied air there.
To hold the book in your hand. Absolutely. Now, this was my second book. I have to say the first, there's something special about your first book, right? Oh, yeah. That first experience. And there were so many of those big events on the way to holding my book in my hands, right? Yeah. So there were a lot of them. One of my favorites, now we're going back in time a lot. This is with my first memoir, but one of my favorite moments of really feeling like a writer was an early phone call with my editor. And I heard her say, okay, Wendy, and we're talking. She's like, what? And I hear her speaking to someone off to the side. She's like, I'm talking to an author. And I heard that. That was the best moment for me. At Random House, they think I'm an author. And that honestly was my incredible moment. She was sort of snapping at someone like, I'm talking to an author. And she means me. That was a great moment for me. That was one of my favorites. I'll always remember that moment.
So. Well, we as authors were very quick to cut ourselves down. Yeah. I still remember a few years ago, there was someone that I met at Barnes & Noble. This was someone that was working with a friend of mine. And she said, please talk to this bookseller. She's an author and would just like to have a little bit of guidance. I was like, well, absolutely. And then she told me, like, in terms of her production, when I asked her, like, what have you done so far? And she's like, well, I've written these two books and I have this one that's currently in editing. I'm just like, drop the aspiring word. You are an author. You're putting in the work. Claim it. And I hope that she heeded my advice on that, because that's production that she should be very, very proud of. But at the same time, I'm shocked you didn't look over your shoulder when she said, I'm speaking to an author. It's like, is one here?
Oh, I was thrilled. Yeah. I think as authors, we also don't remember that people are actually reading what we put out in the world. Yeah. So I've always been a teensy bit envious of my musician friends, because they stand up in front of an audience and they see the reaction on people's faces. Yep. You realize, okay, I do have an audience. You see them in front of you. And as a writer, it's really easy to forget that people are actually appreciating your work, because it's quite anonymous until they write to you. And then seriously, I would get emails and I would think, oh, someone read my book. Well, obviously lots of people are reading it, but it still felt like this one person read my book. Yep. It's really easy to forget that people are actually reading your book and sometimes being deeply affected by it.
And then now that you have this book out and everything, you also are offering a free class on your website. What can people expect from that?
It's called 7 Steps to Structure, and it's a video course. You get a new course every day. It's a 10 to 20 minute video, depending on the day. It really is a step-by-step system that helps you construct a memoir the right way.
And is this something that other authors can take and run with as well?
Oh, I'm going to say yes. Now, what I discovered about how written stories work absolutely applies to novel writing as well.
Yeah.
But memoirists need this more, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's so many errors that you can make when you're working with memories and you're confusing memories with plot. So will this help novelists? Absolutely.
Excellent. And for those, there's always someone out there who is looking to kind of go in that same sort of direction that you went in terms of working on a memoir, believing that they have some great stories to tell and they can go ahead and put that down on paper because they believe that they have a journey that's very inspiring to others. What would you say is the first step that they should do for that?
The first step is to really understand what your book is about. I think there's a lot of confusion around an autobiography and a memoir. So a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to do this when I'm 70 years old. And I do have 70-year-old clients. But I wrote my memoir when I was in my 20s. So, I mean, it is from a chunk of your life. It's from a period in your life. It's a story. So it should feel like a movie. Mm-hmm. Memoir is creating plot out of these true events in your life. An autobiography is usually only written by a famous person. because we don't want to, no one cares about everything I've lived through in my life. They might care about everything Jimi Hendrix lived through, you know, what's his story, or everything Ray Bradbury lived through, right?
There you go. Always brings it back to Ray. That's
great. Bring it back to Ray.
Now, are there certain memoirs that you've read or certain autobiographies that you just believe that really capture what it is that you wanted to portray in your own book, and maybe invite other people to just say, like, okay, to get what I'm talking about, read this book or this book or this book. What are a few that has worked for you?
So some people ask me, so give me some examples of memoir that follow your system, that follow these principles. And my response to them is every single memoir in existence that works follows these principles. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to create a formula. I really wanted this to be the bare minimum of principles that any book needs in order to work. So my answer is always all memoirs that work follow these principles.
Right. That's great. And where can my listeners find you on social media?
So I have a YouTube channel that I put out a new video every week on memoir writing concepts. It's Memoir Writing for Geniuses. You can go to my website, which is geniusmemoirwriting.com, or you can go to freememoirclass.com to get your free 7-part memoir class.
Nice. And just like Wendy has been saying, everything that she has been teaching in terms of getting the structure down and getting the stories in the right way before you start committing them into prose, that relates to all kinds of writing. So by all means, keep that in mind. You have someone who is ready to support you, that is ready to work with you, and also has provided the tools in order for you to succeed already. So by all means, please use those tools. A lot of people are ready to put together their New Year's resolutions. I know that mine, the one constant that I always say is to use the tools that you have. Having this kind of tool that Wendy has put together with you is going to make a lot of difference, whether you're working to put together your memoir or you have other types of stories to tell as a fiction writer. Use these tactics. She's providing you the means to be successful in something that you love. So take that, run with it. And by all means, do not give up. Do not just hit delete and move on. Keep moving forward and get those stories out there, because in these crazy times, we need your stories. We need your vision. We need your ideas now more than ever. So for Wendy Dale, this is George Soroy saying to all of you, ever upward, and I will see you next week. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Excelsior Journeys. I hope it was both inspiring and entertaining. Special thanks to Zach Comtois for providing new music for the intro and outro. Please take a moment to leave a rate and review on Apple Podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends and subscribe to your platform of choice by going to he'sgotit.com/podcasts. While there, you can also fill out the application to be a guest, inquire about sponsorship opportunities, and click on the Buy Me a Coffee link if you wish to give your support to the show. All interaction is very much appreciated. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for the show, please direct it to george@hesgotit.com.